Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Yeah, well, the cat's been let out of the bag, hasn't it? Today we do reach the climactic verse of John's Gospel. John chapter 20, verse 31. It's up there on the screen. But these are written that so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The reason God wrote John's Gospel is so that, you see the so that? And so everything after that is the reason. The reason God wrote John's Gospel is so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I'm obviously emphasizing the word believe, because today we are going to explore what it means to believe in Jesus. Today is our final sermon in our John series. Now, next week we actually will look at John, but that's for our Easter weekend series. But in terms of our epic 4-year journey through John's Gospel, this is our last sermon. And for 4 years, we see that it culminates on this verse. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, I guess I could have chosen to focus on Jesus. We could have focused on the Christ. We could have focused on the Son of God. We could have focused on having life in his name. But we're focusing on belief, because every sermon in John's Gospel for the last 4 years has been a focus on Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus offers. Today, we are going to look at the wonder of belief. And here's why. Belief is not something we simply do in our heads. Belief in Jesus involves our head, our heart, and our hands. And so here's how the sermon's going to break down this morning. Firstly, we're going to see that belief is a crucial response. Our belief is a crucial response. Then we're going to look at the whole head, heart, hand thing from John's Gospel. And then we're going to finish with assurance. Assurance. The unbelievable benefit of belief. And so that's where we're headed. Let's begin by looking at belief, a crucial response. If you've been with us for the last 4 years, you intuitively know that belief is a really big deal, because John keeps banging on about it. Do you know the word believe occurs 98 times in John's Gospel in 85 verses? We intuitively know belief is important. We've been hearing it for 4 years. Now, John 3:16 is unarguably the most popular verse in the Bible. John 3:16, it's there on the screen. I'll read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. According to the World Vision UK website, John 3:16 is searched for over 2 million times every single month. Unarguably the most popular verse that's going around. And yes, from John 3:16, we know that God loves the world. We know that God sent his Son. But can you also see the response? That whoever believes, that there is a call for response. We also see from this why I'm calling it a crucial response. Whoever believes will not perish. Which means whoever does not believe will perish. Belief is a crucial response. If we believe in Jesus, we receive eternal life. Belief in Jesus really is a matter of life and death, of heaven and hell. Belief in Jesus is more crucial than your career choice, your marriage choice, your financial status, your health status, your friends' status. You see, when we're talking about belief in Jesus, we're not simply talking about an experience of the brain. I believe 2 + 2 = 4. I hope you do too. That's a belief. It's cognitive. It's in the brain. It's academic. Let's raise the stakes a little. Cognitively, I believe in marriage. Like academically, I believe families are the core of society and we need to focus on them. However, my belief in Nicole as my wife is belief on a whole super level. As I believe Nicole is my wife, I receive her as my wife. That puts certain boundaries around me. It places certain responsibilities on me. With that in mind, listen to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, and the him here is Jesus, but to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We need to receive Jesus. That is, belief is far more than a process of the mind. The easiest way I know to make this point is that the devil believes in God. But the devil does not receive God. Christian belief is more than a process of the mind. Belief is also a receiving of Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Now we'll talk about Saviour and Lord more in a minute, but first, I think we need to see the importance of the supernatural side of Christian belief. From those verses up here, can you see how whoever receives, that is, whoever believes in Jesus, gives the right to become children of God? And at the end of verse 13, we're born again. We're born of God. It's pretty obvious why Christians talk about being born again. And Jesus really picks up this born again theme a little bit later on in John chapter 3 when he meets someone called Nicodemus. Why don't you turn with me with this one? John chapter 3, verse 1. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." I'd like to keep going, but I'll skip down to verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man," which is another way of referring to Jesus, "be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." In verses 14 and 15, Jesus is talking about his death on the cross. Jesus on the cross was lifted up and he died for our sins so that whoever would believe in him can have received life. You see, what we learn from God's story in the Bible is that we are all spiritually dead. Physically alive, but we are born spiritually dead. Now, if that's the first time you're hearing that, I imagine that sounds quite offensive. And so bear with me as I try and give you a place to sort of grapple with what Jesus is actually saying. You see, don't we all also want to believe that there is more to the wash, rinse, repeat, and then you die view of life? Don't we all want to know, well, where did I come from? Don't we tend to ask the questions of, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Don't we tend to ask the question, is death the end? Or is there life after death? And the Christian worldview, which we discover from God's story in the Bible, is that we are creatures made by a wonderful creator. We are made by God. And we are supposed to live for God. But by nature, we choose to live in God's creation, but ignore the Creator. And for most of us, not usually in some angry atheist sort of way, and definitely not in some terrorist radical way, but in a more teenager sort of way. I'll live in the house, but I don't want the responsibilities or the honour of the parent. And so we are physically alive, but spiritually separated from our Creator. And Jesus is teaching us through the born-again metaphor that belief in him results in a spiritual, a supernatural new birth, which is great news for the humble and needy, confronting news for the proud. You see, belief is receiving Jesus. Belief involves admitting we need Jesus. Belief involves acknowledging our rebellion and submitting to Jesus' lordship. Jesus is both Savior and Lord. And such belief, it's not a simple academic exercise. Belief in Jesus is saying to Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. Now, no Christian does this perfectly, and herein lies the power of Jesus' good news. The millisecond, we hand our lives over to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and does his work of new birth, born again. And then the Holy Spirit continues his work of transformation. And so a follower of Jesus, they begin their life with Jesus and continue every day in a work of transformation with Jesus. Belief is more than a simple academic exercise. Belief is receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. And I want to turn our attention now to the head, heart, hands part of all of that. Next month is Nicole and my 29th wedding anniversary. Yeah, she's a lucky woman. I don't think she's in the room right now. Imagine on our wedding anniversary, I buy a bunch of beautiful flowers and I give them to Nicole, and Nicole says, Steve, you shouldn't have. And I respond, well, I had to. 29 years ago, I made a vow to love you. Here you go. We could argue. I'm loving Nicole with my head, I remembered. With my hands, I'm giving her a bunch of flowers. But man, oh man, it doesn't sound like my heart's involved, yeah? Belief in Jesus, receiving Jesus, involves our head, our heart, our hands. Genuine Christian faith is brain. Genuine Christian faith is heart. Genuine Christian faith is active. Let's look at each component from John's gospel. Firstly, the head knowing component. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, this is Jesus speaking, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Jesus is saying, whoever hears my word believes. Cognitive. John chapter 11, verse 27. This is Martha having a conversation with Jesus. Lazarus has died, and Jesus is just finished comforting Martha, saying, Jesus has said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus explains all of this to Martha. Martha responds, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha hears Jesus say, I'm the resurrection and the life. Martha says, I believe. Cognitive. Let's go to the hands part of it now, the obeying component of our faith. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. There is a doing, active part of following Jesus. And forgive me, I think I had to go to James, don't I? As we think about the hands component of our faith, the verse we most often go to is James chapter 2, verse 17. So also faith by itself, belief by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so our belief needs to have hands. It's active. And then the heart component, I've actually gone back to the John 14, verse 15 verse again. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't it interesting? In John's gospel, where belief is used 98 times in 85 verses, Jesus can also just flow into, instead of saying, if you believe me, you'll keep my commandments, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And part of me right now wants to do a whole other sermon on John chapter 6, but isn't it, it's just so confronting in John chapter 6, where Jesus repeatedly keeps pushing the crowd saying, to believe in me is to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He just keeps saying it in John chapter 6. And I don't think Jesus is just on about the Lord's Supper. I think Jesus is saying, to receive me is to feast on me, is to come to me for everything. It's like the psalmist, isn't it? Like my soul longs for you as in a dry and weary land. Now, as you look at the head, heart, hands triangle up there, you might start to realize why we frustrate each other. And by each other, I'm not talking about you and me in our church family. And also, I think, each other as in other Christians in other churches. You see, we all have preferences, don't we, for head, heart and hands. I think you might have sort of maybe picked up on mine, the heart. That's no excuse for me, though, to dumb down my faith. That's no excuse for me to ignore God's commands to actively obey him and to love my neighbour. Also, head, heart and hand reminds us that we need each other. You see, where I have a weakness, you'll have a strength, and vice versa. I'm so encouraged when I look around and I see some of you taking notes during the sermon. I love fielding with you, opening our Bible and talking theology with you. I love the fact that we've got the head thing going. I also love the fact that when some of us are singing praise together, we're just so expressive. That when sometimes I'm talking with you, the eyes glisten, or even a tear starts to roll down the cheek as we talk about our Saviour. Our faith is heart. I love hearing stories, real stories. I love hearing your stories of repentance, of helping one another actively, of helping those outside our church. Our faith is hands. Are we perfect? Of course not. But listen, discipleship is about direction, not destination. Discipleship is direction, not destination. Our direction is Jesus. We are to grow more and more and more and more and more like Jesus. Jesus, who knew the scriptures. He had head. Jesus, who the emotional word that is most used for Jesus is the word compassion. He had heart. And Jesus, who perfectly obeyed God and actively helped people. Hands. And while we're on to Jesus, let's head into our final point. Assurance. Assurance. The unbelievable benefit of belief. Now, you might have noticed in the last 10 minutes, I broadened my use of language from belief, which I said is the main topic of this sermon, and also started to use the word receive and faith. I could have equally dropped the word trust. They're all helpful and biblical words for our response to Jesus. Our response. Our response to Jesus. Any guesses as to what I'm trying to get you to think about right now? Our response to Jesus. Most of us get unstuck when we think about our response. We either focus on all that we're doing wrong and we despair, or we look around and go, I'm doing better than that lot, and we fill up with pride. When it comes to assurance, despair and pride are two sides of the same coin. I should explain what I mean by assurance. Assurance, to be sure that you are a Christian. To be sure, certain. Assurance. And assurance is really, really important. Let me prove it to you. Here's a real question. You can call out an answer. Is God good? All right, we need to work on our heart. Yeah! God is good. God is good. Now, second question. Would a good God want us groveling around to get his attention? Would he want us stumbling around wondering if we're going to get in? No. Absolutely not. God is good. He wants us to have assurance. And because we've spent the last 4 years working through John's gospel, we know, well, at least we know up here, we know that Jesus came so that we can experience the love of God. Have a listen to Jesus' end of his prayer, his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus finishes this prayer to the Father. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Make that one of your favorite verses in the whole Bible. A big part of Jesus' mission is to have his followers enter into the love of God. If you were to ask me how my marriage is going and I said, I hope I am married, or I'm trying to be married, what would you think? Now, here's the thing. When I ask some of you if you're a Christian, the reply can be, I hope I'm a Christian. I'm trying to be a Christian. And if you're feeling a little guilty, let me turn the spotlight on a different group of us. Sometimes the response can be, well, yes. I turn up to church all the time, don't I? Well, of course. I'm part of the point. It's better than the last church I was part of. Listen. The starting point for answering the question, are you a Christian? That the starting point of assurance is Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I believe Jesus. I receive Jesus. I trust Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. I've handed my life over to Him. I'm a Christian. And then, my dear brother, my dear sister, every day we continue to look to Jesus, not just for our initial salvation, but for our daily growth to become more like Him. Because where we fail, He succeeds. When we admit our sin, and here I'm talking about the ongoing sin of us Christians, when we admit our sin and we ask for the help of the Spirit to help us to repent, God's posture towards us is compassion. Is love, is mercy, is grace. Friends, assurance is the unbelievable benefit of belief. Do not settle for head belief alone, heart belief alone, hands belief alone. Belief in Jesus is head, heart, hands. One of the ways of thinking about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit is renovation. Our life is the house and we ask for the Spirit's help to renovate. Now, our problem is we're too easily satisfied. Dear God, please help me to stop such and such a sin. Dear God, please help me to love that difficult person. Dear God, please help me to be generous, which are all good prayers. Our problem is that we settle for too little. We settle for a room renovation. But God is after renovating the whole house. And if that sounds too overwhelming for you, it's only because you still need to get to know God more. Because do you remember the answer to our question, is God good? So make your prayers big. Make your expectations huge. Because God wants you to know. God wants you to experience. God wants you to enter into the eternal love of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Christian has an answer to the question, are you a Christian? Full of assurance. The Christian says, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus as my Savior and Lord. He's forgiven me of all my sins. And yes, I'm a Christian. How about you? Now, I'm going to pray, but I need to find Dean. Okay, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing, and then we're going to look at a couple of questions. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, praise you, hallelujah, that adoption into your family is true and real. You sent your Son. Father, I pray for those of us who do believe, you will keep drawing us back to your Son, your gospel, your truth, your promises. Fill us with assurance that is grounded in you and who you are and what you've done. And Father, for anyone here this morning who is still yet to believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, would today be the day where you do your work? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.